We left off where Helen was a baby, and you probably were looking forward to another of your many moves. Where did you go next?
From 85th Avenue, we moved back to Boston, 138 Marlborough Street, which wasn't too far from 88 Beacon Street, where we had lived a few months before, practically. It was a nice apartment, which I remember particularly because it had a huge, big walk-in closet off the kitchen with shelves galore and room for everything and anything you could possibly think of. I look back on that many, many times and I had to jam things in there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Ed was in charge of ANIPA, and
what did ANIPA stand for?
Army Navy Electronic Production Agency for all of New England. And over there we did quite a bit of entertaining of the staff, and I did quite a lot of baby carriage walking up and down Marlborough and Beacon and the public gardens, which are right there. And
were there many wives doing the same thing? So you had?
No, I can't remember that there were. Mm-hmm. I had a few friends from the ANIPA group, but mostly were just awfully busy with taking care of our babies and things. I do remember though that Ed's family invited us out for a vacation at Sutton's Bay, Michigan, and so we went out by train and had a glorious time getting away from it all. But Ed's vacation was very, very short, so we were soon back to work again. I can't remember just how long we were at 138 Marlborough Street, but it wasn't long before we were sent back to Washington, D.C. And there we found a really awfully nice place. They were still being very, very good to Army officers. And we had friends too who helped. And so we found a place on Waterside Drive,
2553
Waterside Drive.
Overlooking Rock Creek Park.
Yes, Rock Creek Park was right just across the road. And that was awfully nice because it was really a three stories high. I mean, it was a connected building, and each unit was three stories high. So it was really very pleasant. We had a living room and a dining room and a tiny little terrace in the back and a kitchen. And then on the second floor there were two bedrooms and bathroom, and on the third floor there are also two bedrooms and bathrooms. So we did a lot of inviting the family down to see the baby, and we had some very nice visits. So we really enjoyed that. However, Ed wasn't there very long. He was sent to first Cleveland and then wherever you go.
All over the country.
He got home for weekends. That was about it. We looked forward to weekends. So I led a reasonably quiet life with my baby and waiting for Ed to come back. But meanwhile, I was expecting Holly. So it wasn't too long before I was dashing off to the old Garfield Hospital. That was a Civil War hospital, wasn't it? It was a big old-fashioned hospital, but great. And the amusing part about that was that Ed dashed me off to the hospital. And before he left the building, I had produced Holly.
Oh, my.
And the nurse ran out to the parking lot calling him to stop, stop. He was a father. But he didn't hear her, and so he drove all the way home and had to wait for the telephone to ring.
My goodness. What day was that? What was the day?
That was July the 21st in Washington, D.C. It was very, very warm.
Mm-hmm.
But
what year was that?
That was 1946.
Very warm in Washington, D.C.
Yes, indeed.
Well, in the meantime, I had taken terminal leave, and we had two or three months in Bermuda.
Well, not when Holly was born.
Oh,
wait a minute.
And you were carrying Holly and Bermuda.
Yeah, I was carrying Holly and Bermuda, right. That's right. Holly was born after the war, but we were still living in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. Let's interrupt this if we may and just see if we're getting what we think we got.
So, Holly was born, and then you moved.
Yes, Holly was born after having a lovely vacation with me in Miami, where both Ed's parents and my parents came down to be with us. It was a lovely, after the war was over, celebration. So then we moved to Connecticut. South Norwalk, Connecticut, and that's where Hillary was born.
That when was Hillary born?
Hillary was born August 29th, 1947. And we were there for a year maybe. And then moved to New Hartford, Connecticut, which was fairly near Hartford, which is where it was going to be. That was a wonderful old house. It was built in 17-something or other. Ed remembers and I don't. But just a wonderful old house. It had great big wide floorboards of what's the tree that got extinct? Didn't think about it. Think of it later. Mm. And we were there for... But how old was Chloe Langton?
Chloe Langton House was built in 1726.
1726.
Mm. Named after the person who
lived
there
first? Yes, she
lived
there for many, many, many years, and she was a character, and everyone knew her. And the graveyard is right next to the house, quite a large, well, not very large, but graveyard of all the old people. And her grave was there, so we used to go and set leaf flowers at her grave. Mm. The children loved to do that. And it was I loved that place because it had a lovely garden back with a brook that ran through. Mm. And there was a little pool, and we really enjoyed that immensely.
And you had your hands full with the children.
Yes, I did. That was when Helen had gone to day school for preschool class in South Norwalk. So when we moved to New Hartford, she was horrified to know that she was not going to go to school. They wouldn't take anybody until they were 6 years old.
Oh.
And she was the most indignant little 5-year-old you could imagine. And so I went down the hill and talked to the sisters. There was a Catholic school there. Asked if they would take a little Protestant.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, they'd be very happy to. But I would have to realize that she would get a certain amount of religious instruction, which might not be the same as whatever I had in mind.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't bother me at all. And so Helen went to parochial school and thoroughly enjoyed it. She liked the strict nuns really seeing that order was maintained, and children who did not quite come up to par were sent to the Mother Superior, who took a little ruler and went whack whack on their hands. So Helen eventually went to public school. She was absolutely horrified that the teacher walked out of the room for 2 minutes. People would be throwing books and spitballs and jumping up on desks and doing perfectly awful things. Anyway, we lived in South Norwalk for several years, and then Ed left the company that he'd been going with. They wanted to send her to Detroit, and he did not want her to go to Detroit. So he went back into the Army for about a year, I think, and enjoyed being back again. It was the manufacturing side of things. So then the war, of course, was really over by then, and we began to wonder what we'd do, where we'd be. And he got a position with the Rayovac Company in Madison, Wisconsin. So, before long, we were packing up, and getting on the train, and that train ride was famous because we had four children and a dachshund, and Eddie is born.
Yeah, we forgot to have Eddie born now. Where Eddie, was he
Eddie
born?
Well, Eddie was born New Hartford, but the actual hospital was not New Hartford. He was just a little outside New Hartford. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was the general place.
So he was born. So then you had three daughters and a son.
1949, June the 19th. Well, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So we got on the train and off we went.
How old were those children when you were moving by train now with four children?
Eddie was a baby. He was just a baby, and Holly was...
Helen would have been the oldest.
Yeah. See, Helen's about 3 years older than Holly. Mm-hmm. And Holly and Hillary are 1 year apart. So,
four.
So, Helen was...
Hillary and Ed are how far apart?
Hillary and Ed are about 2 years apart.
So six years.
Yeah.
Oh, brave
so,
one.
Anyway, on that train trip, I distinctly remember Ed getting off the train at a station to take poor Valdemar for a walk, Valdemar being the dachshund. And all of a sudden the train started to move. And the little girls all started to scream, "They're leaving Daddy, they're leaving Daddy!" But Daddy did hop on with the dog, and we all safe and sound. That trip is also famous for the fact that poor Ed tried to help feed the baby. And feed kids, and he had to change his shirt three times because for some reason the train always jolted, and that spoonful of creamed peaches or whatever would go right in the middle. However, we made it to Madison, Wisconsin, and we had an awfully nice place there on Shorewood, and thoroughly enjoyed it for several years, and really enjoyed Madison. It's a great town, and we went to concerts and we went to plays, and I sang with a group there. The
activity focused on the campus?
Quite a bit, yes. Mm-hmm. A lot of the things happened on the campus. And the Sherwood Singers met regularly.
And that's the group you belong to?
They're just a they're not great singers, but we enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I joined a few things like Association for Better Radio Broadcasts for Children. I can't remember just what it was, but in those days we were much concerned with children's radio programs. TV wasn't really quite... And we did have a TV set in Madison, but it was still fairly, fairly primitive. So we worked on trying to get better children's programs.
And were you successful?
I think so, yes. I think that we got some really nice ones, mostly storybook women, which we don't have at all now, do we? I mean, just nice women with a good voice who would sit down and read stories to children and read with a good expression. And,
did you read?
No, I didn't. No, I'd have enjoyed that then.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved by that time.
Oh, now where?
And then we're getting up close. Ed lost his job because that whole section was moved back to Pennsylvania somewhere. His whole section of the Rayovac Company, and he. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So he began looking around, and that was when E.F. Johnson Company needed a general sales manager. And he went up and was interviewed and looked Waseca around and thought that this might be a nice place to raise children.
Mm-hmm.
So we were soon packing up, leaving Sherwood and Madison to go to Waseca, Minnesota.
Now, when did you get here? Do you remember the date?
Well, let's see. Holly got there first because Edgar and Ethel Johnson were down in Madison to meet us and meet the family and so on. And then they suggested they take Holly home with them.
How nice.
And so Holly packed up her little bag and off she went with Edgar and Ethel. And she was
how old now?
Oh, dear. Well, this was in 1952, and Holly was born in 1946.
Six.
Mm-hmm. And she was delighted. She didn't say, "Oh, Mom, I'm scared." Just liked them and had a lovely time. She was there for, I think, about a week before we got up there.
Wonderful.
And it's a very good experience. I'm sure a good experience for them, too.
Uh-huh.
And so then Ed, of course, had to, April. Ed had to go out and find a place to live.
Mm-hmm.
And looked. And in those days, there weren't a whole lot of places to live.
Mm-mm.
Waseca was a pretty limited little town. I mean, there was the city of Waseca, and there was no suburbs, no houses around the lakes and into the country. It was just simply the streets of Waseca. So he finally decided that since I like big old houses, well, he'd get the big old house on the corner of 7th and Elm Avenue, which was owned at that time by Senator
Bowman.
Bowman. Yeah, Senator Bowman, good. And
this was a state senator? Or
state senator.
State
yeah,
senator.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot had to be done to that house because nothing had been done for many, many years. And in fact, Ed took pictures of it, and we decided that it looked like where Dillinger holed up during the winter of whatever.
Do you know who the original owner of the house was? The builder?
I don't know any more than that he was a doctor. And he built the house, and he had at least one daughter. And this was all from Mrs. Cummings, Dr. Cummings' wife. And she when she came to visit, to call me, she reminisced a lot about the house, and when she was a girl, and what they did.
Mm.
But I can't remember the name. And I think we've looked in Childs, but I don't think it tells. But I think the house was built in 1870. So, but a lot, as I say, had to be done. The wiring and the plumbing, just the general fixing up was quite considerable. And
were your children able to go to school then at the public school nearby?
Yes, right? Just down the street.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just no distance at all.
Mm-hmm.
Ed took me up from Madison to see Waseca before he actually signed up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was April the 4th. It was our wedding anniversary. And it was snowing. And I must say that Waseca didn't...
No, that's not it. It's not at its best then in April.
No, it was pretty gloomy. But Hazel Weesey was just dear. She had a party for me, a luncheon party, and invited all the Johnson women and Crystal Hess, and I think Mary Pichettino was there before we were. And just gave a lovely party in her old house, which was over by the Masonic Hall. That's where she lived in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always very touched that she'd given me such a nice welcome. And yes, we moved in finally. For the first time, we all came up as a family. There was no furniture, and we camped in the house. and the children could run around and decide where they wanted to put their sleeping bag. It was weird, and they got lost. I mean, upstairs, downstairs, we'd hear everybody saying, "Mom, where am I? Where are you?" Big old house. I think there were 14 rooms or something like that.
It was a wonderful house.
Yeah, nice old place. And so we went up in August, I think, and so school started very soon after that. And so we were very busy getting things all organized because Helen went to school and Holly. I don't think Hillary went the first year. And of course, Eddie wasn't going to school at that point.
No,
too young. So I still had two children.
Mm-hmm. And the dog, of course.
And the dog, oh yes.
Did they like the school?
Very much, yes, they did.
Good.
When Hillary went the next year, she had Mrs. Olson, Ann Olson, whom I'm sure know very well.
Yes.
And Ann Olson, after a year, suggested that Hillary stay in the class another year because she was still not as developed as she thought she might need to be. So Hillary has always said, "And I flunked kindergarten."
Oh. Oh dear.
But yes, they all enjoyed the old school very much.
Good. Now, where did you shop? Where was the grocery store, the store where you shopped?
Let me see.
Did you go to Wolf's?
Oh yes, that's right. Wolf's would be the...
They had the meat market and the dry goods.
And Emerson Yankee was to cut very nice big thick steaks and... they took good care of us.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. How is Emerson Yankee?
I don't know if he's still living.
Oh, really? Because he was going to, before Radiation Red was.
Oh. Then I don't know.
And I thought it was doing pretty well, but I don't know.
I could be mistaken.
I'll have to find out, because I keep meaning to find out and just never have the right person to ask about it.
I'm not the right person, I guess.
Yeah. Yes, we shopped at Wolf Havine's, and then later on we shopped at Ev King's. Remember?
The red and white store.
Right. And then there was a wonderful place run by, it was right on Main Street, and it was really fruit and vegetables. St.
Peter's.
St. Peter's? St. That funny thing.
I don't
have to think about that. But he really knew vegetables and fruits, and they were always wonderful and fresh, and we used to love to go there. And there are lots of wonderful stores. Thierings. Do you remember Thierings?
Mm-hmm.
We have a lovely story about Thierings because I...
Kind of a variety store.
Yeah,
a
variety store, exactly. I was dashing around the last minute, day before Christmas, picking up this and that for stockings, and Mrs. Thiering came over to me and said, "Excuse me, but has your little girl gotten her bells yet?" And I said, "Bells? Bells? What?" And she said, "Oh, well, there's some bells here, and she's been coming in almost every day for the last 2 weeks to look at the bells," and I just wondered if she was going to get them.
Oh.
And so she showed me the bells and I bought them, and Hillary was thrilled. But she never mentioned it, just came in and urined.
Yes. Oh. Nice story.
Yes. Well,
very personal service.
Well, that's the sort of thing you don't get anymore. You have to have Main Street, little stores on Main Street, and people who get to really know you.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes all the difference.
That's great.
Not Walmart's, and not Kmart, and not,
So, in those days, I remember we all used to dress up with hats and gloves, and dress our children up with hats and gloves, and go to church on Sunday.
Well, Easter was the time to buy Easter bonnets.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I had a hat that I wore every year for Easter, just for Easter, because it was a white straw that was just laden with flowers.
Mm.
It seemed no reason to try to find anything more beautiful than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we certainly dressed. And I always remember Mrs. Cummings at our church. she was one of these women, elderly women, who never let the back touch the back of the seat. She always sat absolutely straight and still and tall. And whenever the children started to misbehave, I'd say, "Look at Mrs. Cummings."
And she'd look at Mrs. Cummings and you.
Oh my.
But she was quite a character. You should have interviewed her. She would have had a lot to tell you.
What were some of your other friends? That you did special things with? I know they had a lot of parties then.
Let me see, parties.
Dinner parties?
It was most of the F. Johnson group that got together pretty regularly for parties. The Pichettinos and the...
And were there community dances?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I can't remember any.
Okay.
No.
Theater? There was no theater anymore.
Not in the later. No, not in the later. Mm-hmm. I got, of course, involved with the Girl Scouts. Someone got me involved quite...
As a leader, then, or...?
As a leader. I had the sixth grade. And we did all sorts of things, including going out to camp out at Maplewood for overnight, which is a bit strenuous time, but a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And Helen really worked hard at Girl Scouting. She got the curved bar before anyone thought she should because she was too young. But she got it. She was a worker. And we had wonderful courts of honor that really were huge affairs. Oh, do they still have big courts of honor in the Boy Scouts and so on? I doubt it.
I just don't know. It's changed.
Each troop would really put on a skit or something special, and they do wonderful things.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Baldwin was, of course, the Girl Scout leader for a long time.
She has quite a reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go out of town to Minneapolis to shop and to go to the theater or play? Or
later on, the children were small.
Pretty much stayed around.
It was pretty much PTA. We had PTA in those days. You don't have that anymore, do you?
Mm. No, well,
is
they might.
PTA?
They might now. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of...
And I was very active in the AAUW.
What did you do with the AAUW?
Well, that was a very active organization in those days. There were a lot of teachers in it, but also other members, too. And the teachers always felt they worked so hard that they couldn't really do very much in the way of putting on programs. But we had enough members in those days so that we could really carry on pretty well.
How many members would you think you had?
That actually came to meetings and so on? 38?
Mm.
What's your guess?
That was good.
I think that's probably about it. They didn't always all come, but a lot of them did.
Mm-hmm.
It was an active organization.
Large group, usually.
And covered New Richland. Mrs. Norswing used to come up, remember? Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
She was a very active member. And it wasn't just Boys, it was a whole area. And we put on some really very good programs. I remember one particularly that was rather a shocker because he put on a program on existentialism. Jean-Paul Sartre and Albert Camus and the rest of the French existentialists. And we read, with some gesturing and acting, a play by Jean-Paul Sartre, The Flies, which gave the general basic principles of existentialism. And we had a good cast, too. There was Mary West and Ada Hagen, you remember her? Kay McClune, Jean Johnston, and anyone else? I think that was probably it. Oh, me. Me. And we had a good audience. It was I think, I'm afraid, a little bit shocked by the whole concept of the play, but certainly interested. And we got some interesting publicity in the newspaper, too, with pictures and everything.
Hmm. And remember what their comments were?
A very interesting play. Interesting, always covers a multitude. Mm-hmm. Yeses and noes. And then another play that I remember very well that we put on, I think, at Edgar Johnson's, at their old house on Elm Avenue. And that play was called The Long Christmas Dinner by Thornton Wilder. And we had a very good cast for that, too, but I'm not sure I can remember them all. I remember very well Carol Rutledge.
Mm-hmm.
And who else was in it? Can you remember?
Big cast, as I
was
recall.
It was a huge cast.
Mm-hmm.
Just about everyone you can think of. But I can't think of them, to be sure. But it's a wonderful play, and we did an excellent job, I'm sure, because we remember it perfectly.
We thought we did, too.
Mm-hmm. And what else? Can you think of any more interesting programs they had? I just remember programs on education, because that was, of course, very much in the minds of
members.
And I remember that way back when we first were with the
They were very substantial programs, too.
Mm-hmm. But back in those days, I don't think that the federal government was into education the way they are now. And there's always a lot of discussions to whether the federal government should support education to a large extent, or whether communities should be on their own more.
As I recall, you were also very active in the Republican Party.
Yes, I was.
Can you tell me some of the things that
As
you did?
As Miss Westby used to say, I'm a rock-ribbed Republican. well, let's see, I think the first real work I did was Neighbor to Neighbor. And those are the days when Nancy Bratis, who probably remember.
Mm-hmm.
She was fairly recently defeated, I remember, because of abortion stand or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
She started Neighbor to Neighbor in this state, and that was hard work. You went from neighbor to neighbor, from door to door, to find out who was who and where you could find support and where you could find an extra dollar. And that was hard work. Let's see, here we are. I think that was one of the groups that we had. Rod Searle was a great help. And do you remember him? Artis Wright and Don Wright.
Mm-hmm.
He was with the F. Johnson Company, and she was a hard-working Republican, too. And when was that?
1966. Mm-hmm.
We used to have big meetings, and we used to get our workers together, and really did a lot of good things. It was in 1966, I believe, that the Women's Republican Club started when. As I recall, it started, our first meeting was at Helen Dykens. Were you back in those days?
No.
This is before you were born.
It was before I came to Watsika, though.
And I became a really very active, strong group. And it's too bad it's not still carrying on, because it was a lot of fun and a lot of hard work.
Mm-hmm.
I was president for a couple of years, I think, and then after that I became county chairwoman for a long time, because no one else wanted it.
I have to stop you here, because I know you'll never do this on your own, but there's a wonderful letter here written to you in appreciation of your work as county chairwoman, and I wonder if you would read it. It was written in March 19th, 1966, and it was by Ruth Westby.
Well, Ruth Westby was a, as I said before, a rock-ribbed Republican.
Lovely parchment paper.
And, yeah, and good pep.
Yeah, letterhead.
Yeah, letterhead and everything. Women's Republican Club, Waseca, Minnesota. March 19th, 1966. Dear Mrs. Herbig, we, the Republican women, wish to congratulate you on your appointment as County Republican Chairwoman. No more capable woman could have been chosen or more respected. For all the years of your devotion to the party and also for your enthusiasm, loyalty, and leadership, this group wishes to thank you. We are proud to have our former president take over this large and more important position in the Republican Party. All our best wishes, Mrs. Herbig, for great support and a pleasant continuance of this work, which seems just made for you. Too sweet. Cordially yours, the Republican Women's Club, by Ruth Westby.
Did people call each other Mr. and Mrs. in those days? Or was this just because it was a formal letter?
Probably more because it was a formal letter.
Probably by then they didn't
I
say
think
that.
When you don't remember a person's first name, you'd say you call her by her Mrs.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they were fairly informal.
Mm-hmm. Were you delegates to the state convention then? Did you ever do that?
Yes, I went to a number of them.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any exciting activities that went on there or close?
Oh dear. They're all exciting in one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Someone trying to become elected, some group totally opposed.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not the way it is now. I mean, I really shudder to think what's happened to this party at this point with the abortion group and the anti-abortion group really mm-hmm. locking horns constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And it really has destroyed the party in many ways.
And there are other issues as well.
I know it. I hope that we can come back to being just good Republicans.
Did you work diligently for a candidate that you were just thrilled with? Maybe a gubernatorial candidate or presidential candidate?
You know, it's had a Republican headquarters right down on Main Street, State Street.
Where was that?
Well, let's see. We had it right on the corner of Elm Avenue and State Street, which is now a barbershop. Is that what it is? For a while, it was Deidre's Drugstore.
Oh yes.
And then it was. It's been various things, but I know that one year we had it there.
Mm-hmm.
And then back in those days, there was no First National Bank. Where the First National Bank now is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a big lot. And we used to hold pancake breakfasts and Republican rallies and all sorts of things there. I remember Marvel Patton getting up on the stand and talking very, very earnestly and well. And Einar Iverson was always good at making pancakes. He was always very good at that.
Oh.
And those were the days where the political candidates really made an effort to go up and down Main Street shaking every hand. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know if they do that as much anymore, but
I think they come to town and people and
they go to a restaurant
a
or somewhere,
and
right?
Everyone
you
can come to them.
Come to them, right? Right.
Mm-hmm.
However, I remember, what was his name? We used to have caravans. Do you remember? Because a lot of cars would all line up and lots of placards and flags and so on. Then we'd go from one little town to another
mm-hmm.
and blow our horns and wave our flags and pass out literature. And I remember stopping at, what's the name of that place? a little tiny town, Alma City. We drove in there, which consisted of one little tiny grocery store, and that was really it. And there was no one in sight, no one at all. And we had a candidate with us, and he got out of the car and looked up and down the street to see who he could shake hands with. And way down at the end of the street, he thought he saw someone, so he started marching right down the middle of the road and went all the way down to the end of that street. And there on the steps sat a great big fat lady, the biggest, fattest lady I've ever seen. And he walked up to her and gave her a big bow and shook her hand and introduced himself and thanked her very much for being there. And those are the days when you really worked for every vote.
Every vote.
Now you have television, and if you have any money, well, you get on television for 2 seconds or put your ad on, and that's about it. However, those were the days when we really worked for every vote. We used to try to get young people to our conventions too. I remember we took one of the Kozan girls, and who else was with her, and saw to it that they really sat in on all the
good.
All the doings. And it was a good idea. We did that for some years, getting young people interested.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we had our headquarters downtown, we always had one day when the young people were in charge, and we had loudspeakers that you could talk to people on Main Street, and people would introduce themselves. I am very young. I think this is so. It was really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But
good start.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And fun too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Another group that you were involved in was Monday Study Club.
Monday Study Club used to be a study club. And that was a much better system, really. Nowadays, we're sort of a chowder and munching society, so-called. Mm-hmm. We eat and we listen. And
what kinds of things did you study?
I remember
one topic for a long time or for a year?
In the old days, I think before I was involved in it, they used to take a whole country like Russia, for instance, or South America. I remember, I think they took all South America one year and just made complete studies of the whole continent. And
I can imagine the committee spent a lot of time setting this up.
Yeah. I certainly must have, because that's quite a job. Although much more interesting, I think, than what we're doing now, which is all right, but sort of scattered too much, so you don't really concentrate on anything. And you mostly don't do your own study; you have somebody else do it. I remember one study we did. Marie Eustace and I had Indians. The Indians of Minnesota, and that was good. We had long talks with Father Smith, who was an Indian minister, and his daughter graduated from the university and was down in Washington for some time. They're very good people to talk to about Indian affairs, and so we put on a pretty good program then, but. What else? Oh, I remember one program we had was who was in it? What's her name? Dawkin.
Catherine.
Catherine Dawkin, and Janet Downing, and I, and somebody else took the parts of a famous. American historical women,
mm-hmm.
and we wrote papers on it, and then tried to memorize the papers to some extent so we could get up there and just simply talk about me and I am Martha Washington. Well, I was Anne Isn't that awful? I'll tell you in a minute. The first poet of the colonies, Anne Bradstreet. I just blank out. Getting old. Anne Bradstreet. She was the daughter of Thomas Dudley, who was the first governor of the Massachusetts colony. And quite a woman. And she wrote some very good poetry. And it was published in England and as the bright light of poetry in the colonies. And so I told about her and recited some of her poetry and so on. I liked her so much because I think I can claim her as an ancestor.
Oh, my.
we Tennies go back quite a ways, so I was pretty curious at her. That's why I couldn't even remember her name. She was quite a nice woman in many ways, besides her writing poetry. She was a strong woman, not just a Bohemian little thing. And that was a good, very good program, although I do remember that a couple of our older members fell asleep.
That happens. Nothing personal.
But the Money Study Club has had some good programs, but it's only been the few individuals who put on the program, members. It hasn't been all members involved in study.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them try to avoid it as much as possible. Don't you think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It would be nice to have a study.
Mm-hmm.
It would take quite a bit of organization.
Well, a lot of the members are getting on in years and they just don't want to be pushed to that extent. We have some younger members, I mean, like you and Barbara Gallagher and who else?
Mary McKee.
Mary McKee, yeah, right.
And Carita Buchholz.
But I just hope that they can get more members. Because it's a good club.
Yes, it is.
Going on for a long time.
It certainly has.
Mm-hmm. And it made a lot to Vera Ward.
Mm-hmm,
she
certainly did.
Loved that club. And let's see, what other clubs do we have? Where have we gotten to? There are a lot of clubs.